This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Are you interested in the unknown?
Video games.
Old movies.
Horror.
Old TV.
Zombies.
Fantasies.
Comics.
The paranormal.
And science fiction.
Hot TV. Games and more. Then tune in Tuesday nights at 10.
On Sci-Fi and Squid.
On Joy 94.9.
This is the two-bedroom?
Yep.
Are you sure we can afford this?
You should trust me.
Breeze is gonna be huge. I'm gonna be huge. This could be a baby room if we get rid of that wallpaper. Honey, who are you talking to? Lyle, stay in here. How did you find this place?
You know, that room's never been a nursery. And that's just what's needed. Bitter, batter, bitter, batter. It's never had that.
But I remember seeing like a Twilight Zone for the first time when I was 8.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And I was 7 or 8. And I remember I just stood there mesmerized and felt very comforted by it. I don't know why, but it made me feel. And the question that went through my head really, really clearly that I always remember is like, so wait a minute, grown ups made this?
Mm.
And I just felt like I felt like somehow more connected to the planet somehow.
Oh, okay. Wow. So a South Australian.
Yep.
Okay, wow.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9, and we're lucky to speak to the director, the filmmaker, creator of the film Lyle, and Lyle is going to be playing its Australian premiere at a festival at the Melbourne Queer Festival. Hopefully it won't be the last time it's seen in Melbourne, or at least in Australia. And I want to welcome to the show the maker, Stuart Thorndike. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is cool.
That's cool. Speaking of horror, let's look at your film Lyle and what that is about. Could you just let us know briefly what the film is all about?
Yeah, Lyle, my quick rundown of Lyle is that it's a lesbian Rosemary's Baby. It's really about two partners, two women, and they have to deal with the grief of their baby who dies, and one of them has a harder time than the other, and they actually start to hatch up some paranoid ideas. So it's a big question mark on what's real and what isn't, and what's appropriate when you're dealing with grief and trying to start families and questioning your loved ones.
Yeah, because it's pertinent for the queer film festival goers and audience, I would say, because you are looking at obviously the two lesbian or queer women in a relationship, and it's their first child, and yeah, things do unravel somewhat.
Yep.
So
they unravel fast.
Yeah, they do. Crazy. But actually, it's been called a cross between Rosemary's Baby and, well, I don't know what else has been called across. Sorry, but it has been compared to that film. How would you compare it yourself, there, Stuart?
Well, I didn't think of Rosemary's Baby when I wrote it. I didn't have that in mind. I didn't think I was doing an homage piece, but right when the story kind of slammed into my head, because it based on a personal thing that happened to me with my ex-girlfriend, but right when I wrote it, I looked down at it and I was like, oh, I just totally wrote Rosemary's Baby. But I thought it was really cool that it was a lesbian couple and that made it something different, and it takes a lot of leave the themes of Polanski's movie, for sure. So I just think it's cool to be compared to the movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's
But amazing. I also kind of know that it was an accident that I had so many similarities, because it came from my own sort of personal story.
Yeah.
Not with Satan, but
yeah, without spoiling it too much, obviously. Yeah, there is some symbolic sort of things there that makes you think about, I mean, her paranoia, Leah, the character played by Gabby Hoffman. You start to think a little bit, well, maybe she's right. Maybe there is a conspiracy going on in the building where they're living. And it does echo, I guess, that kind of idea that someone's out to get you and people don't understand you when you are obviously grieving.
Yeah, I watched a lot of videos about grieving, especially with the loss of a child. They do talk about it as this sort of altered space that you go into and a lot of times can't recover from.
Yeah, it's a big sort of experience, and certainly there have been some films in recent times that have been looking at that, even the postnatal depression aspect, as it's called, and what women go through.
Yeah.
And that sense of not being in control of something, and I guess also that people don't understand that relationship. The Babadook, I don't know if you've seen that. That child is obviously older.
Oh, of course. I love it.
But that kind of touches on the same sort of paranoia, the psychology of a mother, especially bringing one up alone, you know, a child alone.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's so fantastic that there are women making horror films, because they have all these like more meaty or nutritious storylines, in my opinion. You know, dealing with depression in a horror film or grief is super interesting.
Yeah.
I loved Babadook.
Yeah, it's done incredibly well. It's done better overseas than it did in Australia when it was played here, which is sad for some reason. It's done better overseas than playing in its own, you know.
No way, that's so fascinating. That's interesting. I wonder why.
The Babadook, because it has done so well and received many, you know, accolades, they're now going to re-release it here in Australia. So that is good to see. All right. So looking at the making of Lyle, I mean, it is a little low-budget movie. I believe it cost you $5,000 to make? Is that right?
That's how it started. We were making it a horror web series for $5,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it doubled while it was, the cost doubled while we were shooting, and we added a couple more days, and it worked better to kind of bring it together and make it one long piece. So I was delighted that it could, that I could pull that off. We shot it so fast and dirty and cheap.
How long did it take you, sorry, to shoot it? 2 weeks, did you say?
No, we shot it in 5 days, and then we did a couple pickup days when we decided to make it a charge because Gabby Hoffman started to get really in demand and busy, and so we had to kind of work around, and she was pregnant, so we had to work around her schedule, which is funny that she was pregnant because it was kind of perfect for the movie. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, her star is certainly rising, isn't it? How did you manage to get her?
Well, I live in New York City, so I'm lucky to have access to actresses who live here. And I did meet her socially a couple times, although I didn't really know her. But I hunted down her email, and she's just a really cool, dedicated artist and is open to doing interesting things. Horror is not her cup of tea, she always reminds me. But she was game, and she was just amazing. I would never have been able to pull it off without her, because she's just so talented.
Yeah, she is incredible. She steals every, she really does, cliche, but she does steal every scene, just about.
Yeah.
Yeah, very amazing.
She believes everything she says, which is a real talent.
And making it as a genre film with a lesbian, a queer couple in it, that's quite a rare thing. I can't think of the last time I saw a lesbian horror film, to be honest, that was made in this way, you know, and it's not, like, completely exploitative.
I know, and I like that so much about my film. I mean, I never have, like, a direct social agenda when I make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell stories that are helping me understand something. And so, yeah, I think it does a disservice to, in a way, to the gay community to make movies about how hard it is to be gay or about coming out.
Yeah.
At least, I don't know if it's a disservice. I should take that back. But they aren't stories that interest me. They just seem, coming out stories aren't very, like, it's kind of like coming of age. They don't interest me.
And we do have
but a lot of them. But I want to see gay couples. And yeah, and I think there's more to being them, being gay and queer and lesbian relationship in different types of movies.
Maybe one day,
yeah.
Maybe one day we'll have our own Golden Pond or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, a lesbian one. Or I think they might have had that cloud. What's it called? Cloud busting. I think that was pretty close. Not doomed. In other words, you know, that whole doomed.
And it's not about being gay. It's about just a story.
Or dying horribly because you're gay or something. You know, that tends to happen a lot.
Right.
In horror films, when there are bisexual or queer women in it, they usually die pretty yucky deaths because they're obviously...
Well, I do have one.
How is Lyle doing? Like, I believe you had it for free online so people could access it really easily. Why did you decide to do that?
Oh, I think we just thought it was kind of cool to do that, and we made it for so cheap and with so much help. And part of the reason that I made that film the way that I did it was because I had been trying to make another film, an all-female cast film that was a genre movie that was a bigger budget and less money. And people, just the reaction was like there was no audience and there's no money and women don't count. So we all made this and everybody was for free. And it was just a way for me to feel like I could make something or feel empowered. And I also, in the same way, didn't want to wait around for someone to tell me they would distribute it, or that I had to then put my film in someone else's hands and they got to decide what to do with it. So we put it online for free. It just felt like the right kind of cool, fun thing to do.
Yeah, I understand. So it's about having control of yourself or of your own work.
Yeah, and just making sure that it got seen and not waiting around forever. So we are now doing this formal distribution thing with it. Now that we had it online for free for 6 weeks, you know, going around festivals around the world, and then we are going to have it be on a regular distribution platform too.
Oh, okay, cool, excellent.
And it's definitely been great for me. The film has really, you know, it was my first project, first feature, kind of feature length, and it was short. But it's really helping me with my next two projects, which are also female-driven horror films.
Yeah. are you doing two others? So is this your trilogy as such? I mean, that's what they're saying in the media.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Kind of a trilogy. I mean, they aren't related outside of their female driven and their horror.
Yeah.
The storylines don't overlap.
Yeah, yeah. So Putney is the one that you did crowdfunding on. What can you tell us about that one? It looks pretty interesting.
Well, we're trying it. It looks like we're shooting it in 2 months, which is terribly exciting. And it's a bigger budget, a much bigger budget, a proper budget. And it's about a haunted TED Talk. It's about four women who go to the country and get to reconnect. It's about vulnerability and intimacy and how vulnerable you should be and how that can also be kind of unsafe. It's a horror film, but with
and based on those
boring cool stuff.
Yeah, and based on the TED Talks, which are incredibly popular online talks about just about every topic you can imagine.
The lead, her name's Lucy Nod, the lead character is obsessed with this TED Talk. It's inspired by a real one by Brené Brown. It's about being connected to people. And so she takes this notion and tries to fix all her relationships by adhering to this advice. But once she isolates her loved ones, the advice starts to get stranger and stranger.
Right, so it's maybe Cabin in the Woods meets, I don't know, something.
I thought you did it again.
I don't know, meets something more technological, I guess, more current.
It's kind of the Shining-esque.
Yeah.
More than Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but could all be in her imagination, perhaps. Again, it's about, you seem to be talking about women with psychological experiences and grief and, you know, losing control and those sorts of things, relationships when they don't go so well and isolation, women feeling isolated. I get that feeling from Lyle that she feels quite isolated, no one understands her or that type of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's hard for me to see it that way because, you know, and because I'm making them.
Yeah.
But I think you're right.
Close to them, yeah.
That's probably a very good through line for my work. It's about chaos and feeling used and alone.
Yeah, definitely. You probably can't see it so closely because you're so close to it itself.
Yeah.
And the food...
Yeah, I always make...
Sorry, what was that?
Sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just related. I went to NYU grad school and somebody pointed out after about my fourth film, like, oh, you're really obsessed with your mom. All your stories about mothers and daughters. And I was just like shocked. I denied it. And then it was like obvious. All my movies are the same.
Oh, no. Well, it's a matter of perspective. That's all you can say, really, can't you? So what's the third one, the last one? So-called last one of the horror, woman horror trilogy.
The third one is called Daughter, and it's a witch movie. It's kind of a love triangle about a very charismatic mother and her not-so-charismatic teenage daughter who becomes friendly with a neighbor woman who may or may not be a witch.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's set upstate New York.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, they're very internalized, aren't they? They're very small, I don't know what the word is. They're very small, intimate kind of stories too. You know, you're not having them on some epic scale, or they're all in like a one building usually, or revolving around a very small set of people.
I don't know if it's because like I've taught myself to write that way because of money, lack of funds, but now it's just instinctively when I'm writing, I think of how am I going to shoot that.
I understand, yeah. Cool. All right. And and of course, the question is, because we're an LGBTIQ radio station, of course, here in Melbourne. Do you identify, if you don't mind me asking, do you identify as a queer woman or a queer artist?
Yeah.
Or both?
I guess artist sounds better.
Okay. Yeah, because there is a lot of discussion now about
that. I thought the question was gay, bi, or queer.
Yeah, I tend to use queer.
But you're saying woman or artist. You pick artist.
You pick artist. Cool. All right. That solves that one. Nice one. And so, of course, some influences as far as why you choose the horror genre. Is there any particular reason you've claimed that particular style of filmmaking?
I don't know exactly. I get asked this all the time. Mm. It's just what I like. It's what I've always liked. I like things to be exaggerated. I like good stories. I don't like things to be subtle. I like the visual opportunity. I came from visual arts, fine arts. I like the visual places that you can go when the world is, you know, heightened, which horror allows much more than like a nice little tight drama.
Mm.
But I also just think I have my natural world view is dark. When I was little, I liked horror. I was drawn to, that's what felt real to me.
So what was some of the horror that you grew up with then that you were passionate about?
Well, I didn't have access to it because we were like one of those households without TVs. But, mm-hmm. you know, I remember I didn't like cartoons. They didn't offer me anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember seeing like a Twilight Zone for the first time when I was 8.
Oh yeah, cool.
And I was probably 7 or 8, and I remember I just stood there mesmerized and felt very comforted by it. I don't know why, but it made me feel. And I was, the question that went through my head really, really clearly that I always remember is like, so wait a minute, grown-ups made this, and I just felt like I felt like. Somehow more connected to the planet, somehow, like, more than what cartoons could offer me. I don't know why.
That's really interesting, yeah. Like, I have an experience where I had a heart monitor on, you know, because I was having some high blood pressure issues and whatever. And when they took the record out of the monitor through whatever magical electronic means, the doctor was saying to me, so what were you doing? I'm just curious, what were you doing between 7 p.m. on Friday, such and such a date, and 1 a.m. in the morning? And I went, oh, I was watching, I did a horror movie marathon. And I thought he was going to tell me that, look, your heart rate's right off the scale. It was the opposite. Apparently my blood pressure was my blood pressure was right down to a healthy level.
That's fascinating.
And my heart rate was almost at that, you know, what they call resting stage after having a workout. That's a true story.
That is really fascinating. I love that story.
It's weird. It's just weird.
It's so weird. I wonder what you can deduce from that.
I don't know. Well, he scratched his head. He thought I was joking. I said, no, I was watching some of my favorite films. I was watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the originals. And I might have even been watching Rosemary's Baby. I can't remember. But about 4 or 5 films in a row, I thought, oh, this will relax me. And it truly does relax me. And there's the scientific proof.
So are those your favorite horror films?
Yeah. Look, I like them.
I want to do that test one.
Yeah, it might not work on everyone, but you never know. There could be something going on there. And maybe it's a female thing too. Who knows? Women in horror and all that.
It might just be you.
Oh, it could be just me. Yeah, that could be it. But anyway, that's the secret healthy living.
So tell me your favorite horror film.
Oof, that is a hard one. It would probably be... It would probably have to be The Shining, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Shining, and followed closely by... because I like the humorous, funny horror, like the original Evil Dead franchise by the Raimi brothers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like those ones because they're kind of fun and, you know, you can have music with them and, well, they could be a musical... They're just silly. I just think they're silly and they're a lot of fun. But I probably go more for the the psychological stuff. And I do like the original Omens. There's something about Satan that's always appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost forgot. Of course, The Exorcist. But that's...
The Exorcist is so good.
But that's,
I love The Shining and The Exorcist.
Yeah, The Exorcist is like... To me, it's not a horror film. To me, it's a piece of art. You know, it's one of the... To me, it's in the top 10 of great films ever made. So it just happens to be a horror film, in my view.
Yeah, well, same with The Shining, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so beautifully filmed. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, it's...
I know, I love it.
I find something different in it every time. Same with The Exorcist. I still find something new in it, you know, to look at and think about.
The Exorcist. I'm super hot for The Exorcist. I love it when you can create that, like, a real world.
Yeah.
And things go wrong.
Yeah. And apparently, I don't know if you know if this is true or not, but William Friedkin, of course, he made it because he's quite the misogynist. And he really disliked his neighbour, who was Shirley MacLaine. He didn't agree, and he didn't like feminism, because it was like the height of the 70s feminism movement. And so he made it in some sort of spiteful way about feminism. And, you know, it's got the opposite effect, I think. But
I've never heard that. I heard he was training to be a priest at one point.
Yeah, it's got all those crazy elements in it, hasn't it? It's quite obsessive. It's really quite an obsessive...
Wow, I've got to read up on that. That's really interesting.
He's interesting.
Who would hate Shirley MacLaine?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. That was probably just before she started doing her past life things, but, you know, where she was once married to her spaniel. I'm not sure. She did go out there. She went out on a limb, remember, so literally... Anyway,
that's
true. So, wow, this is so exciting to have this film playing here in Melbourne. We're really excited, and I think it's doing quite well with the ticket sales. Let's hope so.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, what are the chances of you deciding to make a film in? Well, you are half Australian, technically.
Yeah.
What are the chances of you getting a better, bigger budget slightly and making something here?
That would be a dream. I'm down for that. Although you guys have your good directors over there already.
I know. Yeah, we do. Well, of course, The Babadook was made in Adelaide.
Which one? Oh, Babadook was made in Adelaide? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Do you know South Australia is full of female directors? I kid you not. They have some of the best... women directors and, well, best filmmakers, not just because they're women, but they have a very good film school and arts college, and their government down there, because it's a different state by state, their government's very supportive when it comes to the arts.
I love that.
You need
and
to-
I do know that Adelaide is like the serial murder capital of Australia.
Yeah, so it's got a great mix, lots of female filmmakers, good funding from government, and serial killers. It just needs you to come down and make the film, you know.
Oh, I would do it. I would do it in a second.
Cool. All right. In the future, what, I mean, you're obviously going to be busy with these films, but... What are your plans? Do you have anything you can tell us? Anything exciting you can share?
Just, you know, those two films are going to keep me busy for a while, but I want to continue making, you know, female-driven genre projects. I have many ideas, and I have a female Chinatown-like script that's a thriller that I've been trying to make for years. It has dance in it, and it's about a mother-daughter real estate team that gets involved in a murder that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have lots of projects.
Sounds a bit noir.
It's very noir-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs a big budget.
Sort of LA Confidential, you know, type of thing.
Well, it's very contemporary, though. It doesn't have, like, an old-fashioned feel. It's very, like, suburban.
Mm, Cool.
It's about short sales, you know, all the real estate issues in America, the foreclosures and all the scams that these ladies figure out how to do.
Right. Oh, that'll
it's
be
more like the grifters.
Oh, so a little bit like Wall Street. What's it called? The Wolf of Wall Street. A bit like that. Maybe.
I don't know if it's anything like that. It doesn't have that high energy.
Oh, it doesn't have the drugs and all
it's
that.
It's not campy like that.
Okay. Yeah, well, there is this...
More thick and sneaky.
It's funny you should talk about real estate. You know, they're one of the most hated groups of people after dentists.
I didn't know that. I
after
why.
Dentists, yeah. Seriously.
I had no idea.
They're most likely to be attacked or murdered. I was reading about that. There was a murder case here in Melbourne of a real estate woman. Very sad story, but she was actually murdered while she was showing someone around a building, a house. So, yeah.
Wow.
It happens.
What? The price wasn't right?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's a very evocative story. Well, maybe that's my Australian story I'll do.
Yeah. It could be set on a station, you know, because what Australian film doesn't have a lot of desert in it? You know.
Have a lot of what?
A desert. Dust. Desert. Sand.
Well, oh, yeah. Right.
The stereotype. It's the stereotype. Because sadly, most Australians live in the urban environment. 99% people, yeah. So I don't know why we don't make more urban stories and thrillers. I don't know why we always end up in the outback, since most of us have never been there. It's to sell it overseas.
Right, it wouldn't turn me on. I like things to be regular looking.
Cool.
Regular or beautiful.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, Stuart, it's been really, really cool talking to you. I don't want to keep you too much longer. And... sure you got things to do. It's Friday over there. It's still Thursday, isn't it? Thursday. It's Friday the 13th here.
It's still Thursday.
Yeah.
Great talking to you. It was really...
Yeah, likewise. Really cool. And I just wondered, before you go, if you could do a station ID. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Yep. So obviously your name and et cetera... Director of Lyle, I guess, or something like that. And then you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Jewel?
Joy. So J-O-Y, as in happy.
94.9.
That's it. Excellent.
94. This is Stuart Thorndike, writer and director of the horror film Lyle, and I'm listening to Joy 94.9.
Perfect. Yay. Thank you very much. That's just excellent.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks for
Thank
the chance
you.
To talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
It was great. Bye-bye.
Cool. Bye-bye. And that was our chat to the amazing writer and director, Stuart Thorndike, who turns out to be half Aussie. How about that? Her mum's from Adelaide. Not sure exactly where, but hey, that's amazing. So she is a South Australian, more talent from down under, VIA, Seattle, VIA, New York City, where she currently resides, where she's based and does her films, etc. So, of course, she's the director and writer for a film called Lyle. It is a little film that can do it, and it's a horror thriller. It's going to be playing at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival coming up here in Melbourne Town, Australia. And of course, it stars the fabulous Gabby Hoffman, whose star is certainly glistening and rising. So of course, we're looking forward to that. It's a portrayal of a lesbian couple and their young child and perhaps a haunted house. I'll leave the rest to your imagination. Now, of course, I'm Sonia the Screamer. I want to thank her very much for getting to talk to her, even though it was long distance over the phone. It was a little bit crackly, but we got there in the end. A little bit ghostly sounding too, but that's exactly what we like. A bit spooky, I think. And also to thank, of course, Asher Publicity, Stephanie, of course, and everyone at Melbourne Queer Film Festival. You're listening to Sonia here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, only on Joy 94.9.
Kitty is a girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This trick service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.